Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about music news and culture that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I am Dan. This is the NPR version, apparently.
I'm too tired to do shit. This is episode 240 of this established podcast.
Cool, I'm glad we're doing the podcast today, not like we're recording that much. Anyway.
We got three records to review. We got Traumazine by Meg Thee Stallion, first try. We got Cheat Codes by Black Thought and Danger Mouse, more on that later. And we got Unwanted by Pale Waves, three very different albums. Lots of good music for your listening pleasure and everything. And yeah, it's just, also we got a shit ton of great stories. And I can't wait to get to some of them. So
yeah, you need to be a Syndicate 23 member for this, because we need and appreciate your support, but also these stories are hilarious. One of the biggest mistakes I've seen on television, maybe all year, happened. we'll need to figure out where this goes. One of the weirdest bidding wars I've ever seen in my life, and one of the best street sweeping naming ceremonies I've ever seen in my life. Very three odd things, like we often do on Audio Face with the albums, but nevertheless, we'll start with singles.
Yeah, singles. So first one, we have Picture My Mind by Pink Pantherist featuring Sam Galletri?
I will roll with that.
Yeah.
Galletri?
Galletri? Yeah, fun little like synth pop track that I actually really enjoyed.
It's dancey.
Super dancey. Pink Panthers, we have reviewed a couple times on here. We had To Hell With It, I think last year maybe? Or 2 years ago? Something like that. But this is a good single. It's a fun little, you know, electronic pop, dance pop record that I really enjoy. I thought it was really cool. Especially like after some of the other things that I've heard from Pink Panthers, it's a nice little pivot to say from some of her other work. So I'm interested to see this in a context of a record.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope there is a record that does come out of this because it is very dancey. It reminds me of very early, like, Settle era Disclosure tracks. Like, it's just kind of like very, yeah, sort of like innocent, quote unquote, I guess, like early dance pop music. Not to say that Disclosure's later music was less innocent, but I think it was like so much more layered. It was like an earlier experience, like a very much poppy experience, almost like layered down a bit. But that's not to say the song is bad. It was definitely very catchy, as I said.
Yeah, it's good. Check it out. Next single we have Sometimes by Clarence the Kid off the Sometimes I Don't Know EP.
Sometimes .. IDK.
Yeah. So literally that's the name of the EP. Very good little hip-hop track that I actually liked, and I listened to the other two tracks too. The one's a little interlude track and then IDK off of it. I really like the flow of it. Do not disturb, I can't be bothered. I have got too many things going on. Lately I'm feeling like I'm going nowhere. My dirty sketch has been stuck in the mud. Socks going squish, hooping they squished in a minute. I ain't been missing the tear, I'm in the Kia. Looking at Jeffrey like who gonna free us. I've been an activist, nobody see us. Invisible, high school thought I was invincible. Till I got older and cynical. And the police thought I was a criminal. This shit is stupid, I'm sick of being honestly. I love the production, it's nice old school sound, and we've been getting a lot of that old school the past like 3-4 weeks. This, you know, the summer we've been getting a lot of it, but it's something that I enjoy because the production on this and the production on a lot of other tracks that we've been getting, it's been modern enough to feel fresh, but it's nice to pay homage and stuff that I really like. I love the layering of Sometimes like in the middle of the track and everything too. Thought that was really cool to hear that. But yeah, it's a good track, good little EP.
Yeah, I'm definitely a little bit biased in this because I know Clarence the Kid and I worked with him on making like a live version of Sometimes, and I love I did some help on some production work on that, and I love so much about the song. Like, I think it's one of my favorite Clarence the Kid songs, having heard a lot of his work, and I like the flow with it. I like the way he goes through things lyrically. This is a this is like a step forward for him, because he usually does a lot of production like for his own, but he wanted to do like with live instrumentation and other things like that. And so I think it's a really good step forward production wise, and I would love to hear more stuff like this, especially stuff that's like kind of jazzy and groovy, also slowed down. And I like in the album version how there's a lot of like layering vocally at the end too. Just really phenomenal track.
That's what I love about it, is the layering on there. It's really good. Yeah. It's different. I like it. I want more.
Next, we have Mango Feedback by Fortet. Something that Sean usually doesn't want more of, mangoes. You're like the only person I know, Sean, who doesn't like mangoes.
Fucking hate mangoes, but I love Mango Feedback.
I'm calling the FBI to investigate your house to figure out what documents you're keeping on mangoes. Which is somehow...
I might find some nuclear mangoes or something. Who knows?
Somehow that's not the arbitrary scale. But anyways, Mango Feedback we do like.
Shit. Damn, that should have been the arbitrary scale, come to think of it. But nah. We gotta beat it. We gotta go on LA freeways. But anyways, more on that later. Mango Feedback. Fortet has been freed, and I really like this track a lot. It's just beautiful house, like pure, clean, wholesome, just like injected my veins. It sounds like some early Daphne projects that I've heard and stuff, so which is what I really like. And yeah, it's just like beautiful from Fortet.
Yeah, this combined with Daphne, I'm building my Tech V4 playlist kind of personally for newer kind of electronic, dancey kind of tracks, and especially because it's the summer of dance music, as we're finding out now, thanks to Drake. I say that tongue-in-cheek, of course. I really love the production on this. It's very bloopy and just classic progressive house. It's really good stuff here. And it's another case of more. This came out on a double EP with like another song called Water Synth. It was just like a very ambient kind of song. Doesn't really have a build up, so to speak. Sounds nice, but definitely Mango Feedback is the heavy hitter out of these two.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. The other one's very ambient, but good to see Fortet back like this. Interested to see if we get a full LP as well. And yeah, because his last LP we both thoroughly enjoyed. Last single of the day, serving up Gary's way, we have Spitting Off the Edge of the World by IAS featuring Perfume Genius, and beautiful alt rock indie track. Like, really, really good, especially for a group like the AIS, who've been around for quite some time. Perfume Genius, who is easy one of my favorite indie artists, released a pretty good album this year too, conceptually, and the way he like changed the sound a bit this year too. But them combining on this track is fantastic. I didn't know what to expect. I listened to it and it was just gorgeous. Reminded me a bit of A Son of Wolf Alice's the record last year too. I think about the top of my head, but it's the way it crescendos at the middle, and it keeps just building and building, and then it slows down and builds up again. It's just beautiful alt indie track that I really enjoy.
It was phenomenal to me. It has this like turn of the millennium sort of wall of sound thing in the alternative rock that sounds very nice. It's like it's reminiscent of late 90s, early 2000s alt rock, but definitely done in a really new way. I really love what Perfume Genius and it's just combined together into doing in that track. That's probably just a one-off, like a whole like combined album a la Black Thought and Danger Mouse. More on that later. It's probably not in the cards for them, but this is a really great track. I was not expecting to really like this much. One that we'll be adding to our untitled 2022 AF playlist. You get that little dialogue box that says, are you sure you want to add this already? You have it three times on the playlist. You're like, yes, four times more.
You're blocked again and again. Blocked two times.
Yes. That is new singles in your area for your ears.
Singles in Dineha.
So, plugs and things. On the new Power Report 51, you love Warpath, Dan. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. I did a bit on the Nina Turner versus Jimmy Dore stuff because it's all contextualized around Trump getting raided by the FBI, how the Republicans all of a sudden have now become defund the police and all cops are bastards. Don't believe the hype, though. It's not going to happen for a long time. All these things we talked about on Power Report Live, which, by the way, you can watch live at twitch.tv/Dan from the web weeknights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, from now and through the election, the midterm election in the United States, of course, because we have international listeners and we love y'all very much. And we cover a lot of international news on PowerPoint as well. So definitely check that out on youtube.com/Dan from the internet for all of those other clips. Thank you, Peter. All the audio for this episode is mastered by Peter Stone. For all of your audio production needs, go to @PJSMixit on Instagram. And so with that, let's go into the albums.
Yeah, let's go. First record of the day, we have Traumazine by Meg Thee Stallion, 18 songs, 51 minutes long. Meg Thee Stallion, artist we have reviewed quite a bit on here. Doesn't need any introduction at all, really, but we jumps in it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. There's a lot of interesting things in here. Some pretty cool features and other things that I think actually serve it really well. But there's a lot in here to me that's just kind of filler. It's really long. It's 18 songs, which for like a trap album can be pretty hard. But there's, which is a little disappointing because there's actually a lot of good stuff in here. But you just have to sift through a lot of things to get to the goodness. And there's actually, I feel like it's pretty bottom heavy with some of the good stuff that I like too. But I think Meg Thee Stallion is falling into the hole of now becoming a really popular artist and just is pumping out so much music now where it's like, okay, we need to slow that down a little bit. So, but
I mean,
overall, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry to cut you off. I think you're about to say like overall, it's a pretty good project.
Overall, I think it's a decent project, but there's a lot of things in here that I think some editing would have been really well. Like example, an NDA is the opening track. It's like, it's decent, but it's there's a couple stuff in here like maybe Gift to Curse Her in the middle of the record where you can like either place those differently or get it up to where then you can get to that Pusheasty feature a little bit earlier and stuff. So it's like just the way that it's just the way that it flows through. It just to get to some of the good stuff, it takes a little long. So it feels pretty dragged out by the time you get to the end. And there's actually a lot of good stuff at the end. You have Consistently with Jhené Aiko, which I really like. You have like a more hip hop.
Before we like super jump into it, like I would say top line, I largely agree with you. I think that I would also recognize Megan Thee Stallion as like, this project is substantially better. Like, for this being like a trap project that comes out in 2022 compared to like trap music that we've reviewed as albums in like 2018, 2019, like, those are some rough summers. Like, this is a much more complete work. There is production that goes in a lot more of a range. Yes, there's a lot of stuff that kind of feels a little bit played out, and there's some ordering stuff and structuring things that would have done differently. But yeah, because like we're kind of floating around it. Early on, you get the song Her, which is like this sort of dancey electronic kind of thing.
I'ma do it better. Hoes must have just seen me in it playing catch up. Bitches looking like Lil Megan's playing dress up. Would I ever spend a block on a nigga? Never. I don't even wear outfit twice.
With Megan rapping over it and doing it really well. But it feels like, because
Rico, out of place.
Yeah, it feels out of place. Because later on, it's funny enough, we have Rico Nasty also on this record, which is a really good thing. But on Rico Nasty's record, that first electronic song on that album Rico Nasty just put out launched a pivot of the entire album into a dance thing. It's okay if Megan Thee Stallion does or doesn't want to do that, but that song is such a statement. I feels like it has to be put somewhere where, like, you know, budget featuring Latto, which is kind of middling, is not the lead up song to it, for example. That's why I like, kind of very much agree with you there. Like, I also, Megan Thee Stallion is lyrically one of the best like rappers out in the game right now, especially like female rappers. And so like I feel that that could have been used better in certain cases here, whereas like other tracks and records kind of feel like phoned in, especially like some of the features.
100%. Yeah, and definitely like compared to like say the YB better scale, as we always say, YB definitely not better. We just have to put it out there because it's a trap record, so I just have to say that. But again, like I'm just being very critical because I think some of her work is actually pretty good, but just within this, it's more of like, I don't know how much of a say she has in some of this and how much of it is the producers and all the other people that chime in on the record that push her towards that direction. So there's just little things like that that I would like to be different. Example, I really genuinely like the song Her, but I wouldn't want it put there. Like example, if you put Her maybe towards the bottom before Plan B or after Plan B, I think that actually would be pretty cool because you have like a pretty hard trap song, then you have with Pressurelicious with Future at the bottom, but then you have this really nice kind of old school hip hop song with Plan B, which I like. Fuck niggas need money and I don't give a fuck if that nigga leave tonight because nigga that dick don't run me. You better get on your knees and eat this pussy right before I have another nigga do it for me. Because dick don't run me, I run dick, nigga. Ay, yeah, use a bitch. Ay, Mugler suit in my meeting. Why you steak when I'm eating? Making so much money, this nigga dumb if he's cheating. Bitches watching and hating. And then if you do that and then add like a different pivot on there, that makes the end of the album a little bit spicier. But if you put it just at the beginning right there, and especially after Budget, it's just feels really awkward with the way it flows.
Yeah, that's the other thing I think, like I had a thought about it, but it left because you came up with a lot of really good points there. But I feel like trap albums should have a certain kind of flow to them. I really kind of throw away the first song on any trap record because like Migos will break out like trumpets in an orchestra and you'll think that, oh, this might be like a grand like leap forward. Like they might be actually trying to do something different. And then like the next song's Bad Bitches Only. So like it's
Bad Bitches Only goes hard though.
fair enough. But like it's not groundbreaking, so to speak, right?
No.
It definitely didn't have the shelf life that we would prefer.
It's not drifting off Elevators Part 1 and 2, all right?
Yeah, for sure. But, like, I think Ungrateful with Key Glock is a great song. Like, I like the beat. I think they work well together. But I also think it's a little bit slow to be your, like, lead-off song, essentially. The song after the first one. I would have put, I think you even referenced this, Who Me with Pooh Shiesty, which is phenomenal and a banger and kind of gets you hyped up as a Meg Thee Stallion album.
At the beginning, dude.
Yeah, you put that in the beginning. Like, Meg Thee Stallion, this is twerk music. This is, like, get down, like, have fun, like... Put this shit on repeat. He say he gon' pop a perk and fuck me to my knees. Go, I pop mine on McGee. You want to show me you a real freak? I need a bitch. Gon' tell my AR, have my guns, pills, and weed for me. Backseat of that Jeep, you gotta ride. I hate some weekend. 30K on the vacation. Need some head at time we hit the beat. Got friendships on her hand, but she keep pink polish up on her feet. Yeah, I knew she was locked in the day. She pulled a couple walk with me. When I get mad, I break choppers out. Need a bitch that gon' dump for me. Active, like, moving music. I feel like because we're album people, like the thing is a lot of trap is just consumed like track by track and in mixes and playlists, and that's totally fine, right? But as album people, and I think artists are trying to put out an album with meaning, the order here definitely does it disservice. Because yeah, when we go to the bottom of the record, like I mentioned, Scare with Rico Nasty is phenomenal. You have some really good bars within Anxiety and Flip Flop. Those are like the filler tracks. But I think Megan Thee Stallion's really working out well. And you see her growing and performing as an artist, which I think is great. But then, yeah, Consistency, Star, Pressurelicious. I think all those songs are just like really tied in together so closely that it definitely does it a disservice.
Yeah, I agree. Overall, I think it's actually a decent project from her because I think there's a lot of good tracks in here. Again, like the ending track, Sweetest Pie with Dua Lipa, I think it's like a really nice pop trap song. It's like stuff like that. I think she's really like going in the right direction of her career-wise and everything. But again, it's just me being a picky for an album. Like there's a lot of things in here I would just move around and maybe even like cut entirely. But there's a lot of good in here. So again, on the YB better scale, YB not better. So she's definitely on the top of the game, like female rapper wise. Flow is great. Production is actually very good on most of these tracks. So that's something that I do have to applaud as well.
Yeah. Plan B was the one you mentioned with the old school kind of backflip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. No,
yeah, I really like that track a ton.
Yeah.
Especially before, like, I like where it's placed. Again, I wish you placed her right after or right before it too. Because before that, or like after it, you would have the little freestyle and then your sweetest pie. And I think that's a really good way to end a record. But
yeah, I super don't know. There's almost inevitably going to be a deluxe. Somehow you kind of don't expect it. I think Megan Thee Stallion, 40 minutes, this could have been a really phenomenal record. 50 minutes, I start to wonder, yeah, cut a few things here, rearrange a lot of things there. And you do have a phenomenal collection of songs. But yeah, Megan Thee Stallion, you can definitely make albums. Like a lot of Megan Thee Stallion's works, even the things that are like supposed to be collections of songs, like Something mm-hmm. for the Hotties or Sugar, like those feel like collections of songs. But even like this is now like the second proper record type deal. There have been mixtapes and things like that, which are like even less supposed to be collections. Good News didn't. I remember having this complaint with Good News as well. It didn't totally like flow through like an album. This is much better than Good News, that's for sure. Personally, I like it more. Yeah. But I'm waiting for Megan Thee Stallion to really hit that point of good album production.
Which she's good, close.
Yeah, very close. All the elements are there. It's just like really owning it in. And yeah. Anyways, arbitrary scale this week. We do arbitrary scales every week on Audio Face because our review is our review. And we don't want to botch it up with an actual rating system that makes sense. So we'll instead botch it up with a rating system that doesn't make sense. So you can get mad in the comment section if you hate it or not. Anyways, these are things that happen on the 91 freeway, the wild, wild west on the west coast of Los Angeles.
This is like a three tanker explosion that happened like last year where it shut down like the entire 91 freeway and like half it had to be repaired and shit. It was just like just charred, broiled cars on the side of the 91 last year. And I was like, holy shit, dude.
There's still char marks on the freeway where that happened.
Oh, 100%.
Like, that shit's not changing. Like you can't pave that out.
No, that's just, it's a mark forever, and I love it.
Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and agree with you there. We can align on there. See, sometimes we can have arbitrary scales where we even agree. All right?
Mm-hmm. There you go. And it's not supposed to make sense. That's the whole point. Our review is our review. Moving on, speaking of reviews, we got Cheat Code by Danger Mouse and Black Thought, 12 songs, 38 minutes long. I'll let Dan talk.
I have a hot take for the video title, and I'm going to just repeat it here. This could be like modern Mad Villainy, theoretically. I think that's a hot take. I actually would maybe consider that. I think Mad Villainy is its own thing. I don't mean to compare it here, but you have Danger Mouse, who is one of the best producers, not just in rap, but in alternative music, having done some of the best alternative records of all time.
Yep.
Gorilla's Demon Days immediately comes to mind. Yep. You have Black Thought, who is just lyrically one of the most ahead people doing it in the game. His freestyles rack up so much respect. And, you know, he's very underground. He's definitely one of the backpack rappers for sure. Like, he's not getting name dropped with, you know, the Kanyes and the Drakes of the world. But, you know, when it comes to the game of rap, the sport of rap, Black Thought is really kind of unparalleled in that, just how quality are you at writing those flows and things. You put them together, you add a couple of artists and features here, and you get, you know, every summer we get like one of these. Oh, like here's another Danger Mouse classic I'm remembering. No, this isn't a Danger Mouse classic. I confused the two, but when Madlib and Freddie Gibbs made Bandana together, and that was like a Bandana, summer sort of like classic of like rap songs that I was just bumping through the summer. This is that album for 2022, and I love it.
This is fantastic. It's just really, really good. It's just, I actually like the modern Mad Villainy comparison, because this is just a beautiful mix of old school sounds mixed with some new school sounds and some different types of production that makes it feel fresh. It makes it feel modern, but it still gets you that old feeling of like living back in the days, the late 90s, early aughts and all of that. And it's just, it plays through really well. The features, all of the features on here are great. the first two tracks Sometimes and then the title track Chico's. Great.
That's not a myth. Blackness is not a monolith. A lot of niggas probably gotta see psychologists to understand why we wallowing where the bottom is. And common sense isn't what they're teaching in colleges. Shit is real when you done lost your last feeling. Jump to bounce back off the glass ceiling. Back to stealing to Xanax and smack dealing. That's appealing. Go grab the kids and shield them.
Love Cheat Codes, love like the grungy-ish sound of the production on there, like the industrial drum sound and everything, but it's simple, and then it's just really, really nice that I love.
Danger Mouse is truly one of my favorite producers. There is, well, I'm going to hold on some of my other favorite Danger Mouse projects for a little while later, but like, his discography is just insane. You think about Gnarls Barkley, the project that he did with, I'm forgetting his name, the fuck you guy, but CeeLo Green, that's right.
CeeLo Green, yeah.
Yeah. You have Ghetto Pop Life, which is like one of my favorite rap albums ever from like the late 90s, early 2000s. There's that Broken Bells album that they did. Karen O and Danger Mouse was a really early Audio Phase classic that we really loved. There is so...
I mean, he did stuff with the Black Keys, too. He did El Camino.
He produced Good, Bad, and the Queen. He produced for Adele. He produced for U2. He produced for Beck, Modern Guilt.
To me, there's three producers that are... three or four producers that are my favorite. It's, you know, Nigel Godrich, Kenny Beats, Danger Mouse, you could throw off...
Metro Boomin.
Metro Boomin. Like, those guys are just unbelievable of how broad they are.
And unparalleled.
That's a mark of a good producer, is someone who can work with totally different fucking genres from out of left field and still make an amazing project. Like, example, you go from, like Adele to, you go to this record, you go to stuff with MF Doom, and then you got stuff with Gorillaz, you got stuff with the Black Keys. But they're all incredible award-winning albums.
Yeah.
And they stay the test of time.
They all have characteristic sounds, but at the same time, like, maybe just me as a Danger Mouse head, like, I feel it in my soul when something is like a Danger Mouse produced record. Like, it has like a sound, it has a structure to me because I grew up on a lot of Danger Mouse albums. Like, it feels very fundamental to me, like, the way his tracks are produced. Like, it's almost mathematical in the way he has a logic, like a fingerprint of doing it. But to get back into this, it's also selling this album short to say for sure, but that it's only old heads. So it's definitely like, I'd say maybe like some of the newer artists on here, you get ASAP Rocky or Joey Badass, but a lot of the features on here, you know, Run the Jewels, Conway the Machine, Raekwon, these are characters that you would definitely expect to see on a project like this, where it's just like, you know, rappers rap once again.
Yeah, I think, yep. Exactly.
We're dancing around it. We once again have to do this series of, oh, look, a surprise Doom song, a surprise posthumous Doom song. And
is it imposter Doom or is this actual Doom? Genuine question. Did they record this before he passed?
Catastrophic supreme microphonist. In Mexico, we the legendary Dos Cajones. Brothers, both components. Utter close to colas, court holders. With bars as hard as Angolas. Get rude with the dude off chips. The mood switch, he chewed off strips of a brood witch. Danger make a groove off a glitch. Major boo booty twitch and the crew rich bitch. Always wanted to
I don't know, but it feels like it. And because I heard this song, like I've played this album many times now. Actually, it was a lot of music this week for reasons we'll get to later. But I heard this, I felt like Doom's voice was the most like slowed down or like morphed in certain moments. Whereas like it felt like Conway the Machine, sorry, it felt like Black Thought rapped over Danger Mouse's beat. It felt like Doom's like flow was, I felt like they probably had Doom's flow first, if I'm just speculating. They had Doom's recording. They had like a rough like song for it. It went through some changes. Black Thought got to rap over the final version because there's certain parts of the thing that certain parts of the rap that Doom does. Lyrically, it's, you know, it's top notch, MF Doom, whatever. And I like the track overall, but there are certain parts where it feels like slowed down artificially.
Yeah.
That doesn't hit the thing. And you know about MF Doom, like he would meticulously like record things, even on remixes, so that if he could, like the voices wouldn't sound morphed. He recorded Gazillion Ear for the Thom Yorke remix because the Thom Yorke remix is like 4 times faster than the original song. So he sent in new vocals for it because he's like, no, I don't like how I sound sped up. So that's why the fact that it sounds, I'll say it, a little bit imperfect, like makes me feel that it is, you know, just one of those effects of having a posthumous artist thing. Because I've heard this all the time with posthumous artist records is you only have the vocal takes you have. So maybe it's not the best quality or like it doesn't match the studio quality of the other people on it. So it sounds a little bit off, even in as much mastering work as you can do. Or it just doesn't fit right on the beat because of some different edit that was made. There's a lot there, but I think this is just me being like a sound pervert, honestly. I think most people can listen to the track and be all right with it because it's, you know, it's a little bit short, but on a project like this, it feels, you know, all right to have MF Doom, you know, like posthumously appear on it. Boy, are we eating our words about posthumous releases. Kind of, because like I have qualms with it still. But I mean, even with an artist I like, I definitely have to say, like, it's nice to get like little surprise nuggets of Doom, like you alluded to earlier here.
Doom.
Hashtag the imposter is real.
The imposters are definitely real. Doom's still alive. Doom truth.
Doom truthers.
I want to get to the Strangers featuring A$AP Rocky that I thought was really, really good, and it reminded me of Dirty Harry off of Demon Days. The second half of Dirty Harry where it gets to the rap part. Doors open up like two fins, new whips on Dr. Seuss's. One fish, two fish, red whip, blue whip.
This motherfucker does not give a fuck about you. He is in his man. Nebulous. Playing his ex. Nebulous. Nebulous.
Look at where you are. Yeah. Straight out the flames of the city of mine. Double planes and devices paint a wrap and a rise. With Cyclops eyes, stray stay shattered with lies. I wear
the poltergeist. The production of it, everything, it sounded so similar to it. Where I listened to that track, I had a pause and I was like, this reminds me of Dirty Harry. I listened to Dirty Harry and I was like, holy shit, this is like a lot. Very, very similar, but in a good way to it. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you're also, yeah, bearing the lead there. Like, yeah, there's Run the Jewels on that.
Which
makes sense because Run the Jewels as a collective has a lot of newer appeal, but Killer Mike and LP are old heads. Like they were releasing shit back in the early 2000s. So again, they fit very well within this record. You could argue why like LP and Killer Mike's individual primes were in their 2000s, and then when they came together, they had like a second miracle wave. Yeah,
and I mean I love all of Run the Jewels records. We had, what, Run the Jewels 4 2 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Fantastic. And on this track, they're great.
All together, yeah, going back, it has that kind of Dirty Harry element, which, again, a song produced by Danger Mouse. So it's unsurprising But it all comes together really nicely. It's very energetic and fun. That, along with Aquamarine, a couple of songs earlier before that, are just some bangers. Like, absolute tracks I'll be listening to very, very constantly for the rest of the summer and very on. Like, this is one of those, like I said, much like Bandana was, this is one of those like summer backpacker classics that just is groovy and it's well produced, good enough to where I can, even though it's not mainstream shit, like I can play it around people and like they're like, oh no, this is good, this is good, I really like this, who is this, what's this going on? And then you put them onto Black Thought. Like, that's great. Like, the lyrics are amazing, but it's like also not like always super like woke, heady, political stuff all the time.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, standard hip-hop, like rap-style music, so to speak. Definitely not a lick of trap snare. God bless. And overall, just a wonderful project. I've been pleasantly surprised with a lot of the rap we've been getting this year, especially. There's been a mix of trap that we've just been sort of like pushing off ourselves, like, we're not doing on the podcast, but there's a lot... There's a lot that is really solid, and I'm really enjoying being able to do this in 2022.
I agreed.
Arbitrary Scale. I think this has to be the freeway shootings that happened on the 91 freeway.
Not even fucking close, dude. This is definitely freeway shootings.
Every summer on the 91 freeway, we do arbitrary scales on Audio Face because our view is our view, and if we compared it to, you know, like an actual ranking system or something, that'd be stupid. We're not Pitchfork or anything. So, like, or, you know, certain other YouTube reviewers, shots fired. But we will... But we... Which melon? But we will... The 91 freeway every summer becomes a shooting ground. Like, it literally becomes the killing fields. You just never know. Just like, it's going to be a hot day on a Wednesday in rush hour, and pa-pa-pa-pa. You in the ghetto.
I forgot about that video. You might even get hit by a rogue firework, too. That's happened to me.
Oh, Christ, yes. It's real out here. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to the last album of the week, you know, kind of.
We have Unwanted by Pale Waves. 13 songs, 39 minutes long. Pale Waves, indie group that we've reviewed a couple of times on here, part of the Dirty Hit Collective.
Dirty Hit and Associates,
exactly.
Which, by the way, I think this is like the beginning of... I don't want to like speak out of turn, but they are going to have a very significant... album rollout series in the latter half of this year. This is definitely part of it. Biba Doobie was also part of it as well. But of course, the 1975 will be like a flagship part of that this fall. So yeah, Dirty Hit and Associates. Wolf Alice also.
Another record this year, really?
No, I don't know if that's another record this year, but I forgot that Wolf Alice was also Dirty Hit and Associates.
No, yeah, that's what I said. Dirty Hit have good artists, dude.
And you know who I'd like to mess with you on? Deaton Chris Anthony is also Dirty Hit and Associates. Shake that ass. Am I in Miami? Okay. Let's go. So Pale Waves, I really enjoy this record. It's like fun, grungy, indie rock. And we've complained about a lot of those things being like, oh God, this is just kind of taking over the scene. What makes this different, honestly, is just the energy and the way it ultimately like plays through. But I want to know what you think.
So it's definitely a step in the right direction compared to Who Am I that was released last year. We both had issues with Who Am I that was just extremely stagnant. It was just one volume, the whole record, and there was no there's no point in slowing down. There was no variations. It was just one level, and that was it. With this record, you actually get a bit of variation. There's still a couple of things I would like different, just for them to try out some different sounds. But for the emo grunge sound, I think this is the best that they've done with how it sounds. The first two tracks, Lies and Unwanted, get you off like really flowing at your face and everything with it. But it's not like the production on it. It's good. It's very energetic, but it feels fresh for them to do, which is good. Because I feel like in Who Am I? I felt like it wasn't fresh. I felt like they were kind of running out of ideas with it. And I was worried for them as a group. I'm like, okay, what are they going to do? Well, with those two tracks, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. They found back their sound they had for their first record, but improved upon it. You know, they suffered the second record curse, I like to say. And with this, I feel like they really got to just let it go, because the third track, The Hard Way, beautiful. Haunting me, I didn't protect you. Your skin was still thickening, but I just assumed that you were okay. It's really nice, like how it slows down in there and like really builds up towards the end of it. And I was like, oh, nice. We're getting some really cool tracks in here, where with their previous stuff, I wasn't getting that. So once I got to that third track, I'm like, here we go. This is Pale Waves. And I really like them usually. So throughout the record, like you get some pretty decent hits, like Jealousy, saw like aughts throwback of style, like Blink-182-ish sounding with how it is. Yeah. really like the vocals, like the production on it. But again, they're finally starting to branch out a little bit more and trying to do some different slower songs and trying to hit some different grungiest sounds, not just one particular thing and doing it for, you know, 40 minutes. So, yeah.
I think the best example of this, like they're doing different things, is You're So Vain, which I think
great.
Yeah. I think that might like be seen as like a, I don't know if it'll be seen as like a one of the smaller tracks in the record, like it's not like the lead single or anything, but I like the chorus, I like the build up of everything and how that works. Yeah, I felt with the last Pale Waves record, I remember you were saying, okay, this is an artist I really want to bring on the podcast. I think they're really good. And I was going like, they're like all right, but especially in their last record, I agreed with you. It felt like they were stuck in some sort of place. This feels like they are truly branching out and growing, and I appreciate that move a lot because the result is just a record that I feel like has a lot better staying power. I feel like it's a record that produces a lot more songs. Like I said, I'm a person who likes like more up-tempo things generally, but I admire the energy that goes into this record throughout, even through the slower songs. It's maintained, and yeah, that throwback to the good like Warped Tour era of music, but you know, modernizing that sort of sound. It's very enjoyable as a product, and I'm glad that this is sort of Pale Waves being able to get themselves in the right foot and return the form themselves, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely a return to form for me, because like within the first record, they had like different sounds, they had different alternate sounds that they were doing with, and within the pivot of Who Am I, I was like, oh, okay, that's what happens. But with Unwanted, I feel like they're really returning it with it. And now I hope for their next record that they do, I hope that they can really start to branch out even more and get back to some of the electronic sounds that they were experimenting with on their first record. They ditched really entirely in Who Am I, and Unwanted, they've now started to throw in some acoustic tracks and other things, which I actually thoroughly enjoyed. On here, that like example, Without You in the middle of the record, I thought was very good. It's just like a beautiful in the middle of the record, and then So Sick of You, the last track, I thought hit very well too. So with those things, I'm like, okay, cool, we have this grungy sound, we have this early emo-ish style of alt rock that's really aughts inspired. They've really now perfected it within this record. Now let's see what else they can do. But it's definitely a step in the right direction for them, and I'm happy for them too, because I feel like they had the pressure of having such a damn good first record that the second record just was eh. But with this, it's like, all right, cool, we're back on track with them. And I'm excited to hear what else they have to offer us.
Me too. I am very happy with this, and I want to see how they move forward. Yes. Arbitrary scale this week. We do arbitrary scales because our review is our review. And if we gave it an actual numbering system, that would be, you know, not giving the album justice. Speaking of not giving the album justice, the 91 Freeway, where apparently there's just no laws. White Claw is the 91 Freeway, baby.
This is definitely trying to land a Piper Archer onto the freeway.
Yeah,
successfully doing it, crash landing, you walk away. You know, any landing you can walk away from is good landing, in my book, so.
That's what I saw. It was like a fiery crash too, right?
Yeah, which is terrifying.
Both the people who were in the plane were able to walk away, and all the comments beneath there were just like, apparently pilots saying, hey, any landing you walk away from.
And the day, man, you walked away from the aircraft, you're good to go.
Like, my job is done.
Now, you gotta talk to the FAA? Hell yes.
FAA's gonna like have you in a dark room for a couple questions.
Jesus.
Anyways, that couldn't have happened at a more perfect time. But that was Audio Face. I gotta plug some members things really fast. We are going to be doing a Muse bonus episode that's going to be dropping early for members. That is going through the entire history of Muse. What is their whole deal and why they are still making music and why they're still kind of significant. We're going to do some really fun news in the members portion. And it is, the members portion specifically, the news is going to be really, really funny this time. So join join.singit23.co for all of that. What does it mean to play us out?
Yeah, for listening to Audio Face.
NPR
you can
Face.
Follow the show at audioface.show to get all of our stuff. You could go to youtube.com/audiofacepod to get all our YouTube clips. We are pumping them out. Just getting this content out, baby. Also, you could follow the podcast on all social medias at audiofacepod. And that's where you could do YouTube. You could do social media, whatever, just to shoot us a question, shoot us reviews. That's how we get half of these reviews sometimes, is people branching out to us, DM us, do whatever. To reach out,
leave comments. We love hearing from y'all.
Yes, we need to do a comment section again sometime.
Yes,
that shit's always wild. And also, you can follow at me at SWSwares if I trust you. You can follow Dan whether he trusts you or not at Dan from the Internet on Instagram, at Dan from the Web on Twitter, and something on TikTok. Whatever.
Dan from the Internet on TikTok, Dan from the Web on Twitch, okay. Where you can catch Power Report live every Thursday evening.
Cool. And thank you for your listening, Audio Faints. And catch you guys next week.
Cheers.